Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, normally on location, but not tonight. He's in the house somewhere at Everbank Field. He will be here on set shortly. No Thursday night football for Big Bo tonight. The Jags and the Bengals coming up Sunday at Everbank Field. Coming off the bye week, Jags 4-3. The Bengals 3-4. They've won three of their last four. And are playing a little better winning football, at least. But they've got some issues. The Jags have a couple of holes and things to work on down the stretch here. And it is the last game of the second quarter of the season coming up on Sunday.
Well, and it's a great opportunity to keep pace in the division. This is an AFC opponent. You know, so that counts when you're talking about going to tiebreakers. Once you get past other categories, then you go to conference record. So, I mean, this is an important game. And I don't think there's any more reason that needs to be said than it's a home game. Mm-hmm. It's a home game in your place, a conference opponent with an opportunity to go 5-3. That's a big deal. A big deal. And then to take on another AFC opponent the following week, with an opportunity to further the conference record at that point. I mean, that's exactly what you want to do. Take them on.
No doubt.
And the Bengals aren't playing that well. You know, they ended up beating Indianapolis. And Indianapolis, we know, is struggling to find any level of play or consistency out of their organization. 2 weeks ago against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I mentioned this a little bit ago, 2 weeks ago against the Steelers, I thought they quit in the second half. I don't think they played very hard at all. And they were within, I think, a score in that game against Pittsburgh, but yet they did not play like they were still in that ball game in the second half. And that was a little – I was a little confused as to why they played like that against Pittsburgh. I mean, because you're talking about – I mean, that's a rival. That's a rival game. And for them to play like they did in the second half, well, I don't know what was going on with the Bengals, but that's not – a rivalry game that I was expecting to see.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the set for this broadcast tonight, Jaguars Thursday, live in person, coffee delivering, Tony Baselli.
Good evening, boys.
Happy post-Halloween, Tony.
Yeah, usually on the phone.
What was that sound?
Crickets. That's what that was.
Oh, crickets.
Yeah, you're in the flesh tonight. Here we are.
Yeah, we got Thursday night off. So
why?
Nice, yeah.
Games in New York, as everyone knows.
Talk in the microphone. Sorry, it's radio.
Games in New York and Boomer's right there.
I got you.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
What is it, Jets, Buffalo tonight?
Mm-hmm. Good game.
Yeah, it'll be an okay game.
Yeah.
So, Jags, Bengals. We're talking about defending the home turf here. 5-7 coming up, coming off the bye, getting healthy, all the above.
Here's the only thing that concerns me. I think the Jaguars are a better team. I think we're a better team than the Bengals. But listening to all the talk, you know, it's sports radio, so, you know.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is like, everyone's like, oh, this is the one, we're going to win this one, we'll win next week, you know, we're going to be 6-3, that would make us, and all's good in the world. I think this is a tough game. I think the Bengals has a good defense, they have a very good front seven. They have two really good defensive linemen. They have a rookie in Lawson that's a nice pass rusher, but he's a one-dimensional guy that I think, you know, if you set right and you're athletic, which Cam is, I mean, you can completely dominate the kid. I mean, he's nothing that's
going to –
If Cam plays. There's nothing that scares me about him. Now, Dunlop
– really good player.
When he wants to play, too, with his length and his power, I was just watching and I was – and Jeff knows I do this all the time. I start thinking about how would I block him, how mm-hmm. I'd set him. And I'll tell you right now, he'd be a challenge.
Yeah, he's strong.
I mean, he'd be a challenge, and I would have to change. I'd be changing things up and doing different things in one hand, and you know, knocking things down because you just can't say I'll just go out there and do one thing. And because he'll, and then you got Geno Atkins.
By the way, before you move on to Geno Atkins, because you know when I talked about Carlos Dunlap with Doug Marrone, he reminds me of Clyde Simmons. Just that smooth, strong,
doesn't look like he's
moving
anywhere. And next thing you know, he's on the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Clyde was.
And you know, So they got Burfict in there, and
I don't think he's that great.
No, but he's they got players.
The guy who's been around.
Yeah, and they got their secondary is
better guy.
Their secondary is above average. It's not great, but they're above average. You watch them; they play good man coverage. They're tight coverage. They can rush the passer with Atkins and Dunlap. I mean, my point of saying this is I don't think this is just.
This is not a 500-yard game.
No, saying. Where you just show up.
No,
and say,
no.
We're better. We're good. We're going to win. And then offensively, their offensive line at the two tackles
they're a problem.
Are horrendous.
They're
to the point
they're
where Andre's, they're horrendous. They're very talented they're very kids. They're not physical. They don't look tough to me. They have really bad technique at times. So much that Andre Smith, who's way beyond his prime, comes in and plays a lot of reps. So, I mean, I think Ngakoue can have a huge day. I don't think what's the rookie's name? What's the kid from Oregon, the right tackle?
Fisher.
Fisher, I don't think he can hold up against Clias on first or second down. Interior, they're not bad. They're okay. They're not great. You got Bowling and Bodine. The right guard,
Trey Hopkins.
Hopkins is just okay.
He got hurt last week too, by the way.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But they're above average inside. They're awful at the two, but they're skilled at the two tackles. But their skill positions are elite. They have elite players at the skill positions. AJ Green's as good as a receiver you're going to see in the NFL.
Agree.
I think the rookie Mixon is a good back. I'm not saying he's great, but I'll tell you what, he can catch it out of the backfield in open field. He has a lot of wiggle. He has a nice jump cut. He's a good player.
Good back.
Giovanni Bernard is a very good third down back. And so they have talent. I like the rookie, the young tight end. I don't think he's a rookie. I think he's a second or third
year. Third year.
Tyler Croft, 81. He's
good player.
Good player. I mean, so what I'm trying to say is this isn't the Colts. We're not going to play the Colts, who are a bad football team. It's not. This is a good football team that will beat you if you don't play good football.
But that's the advantage we just got done talking about there, that offensive line.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
You have to exploit that in this game. You have to make them be what they are, which is inexperienced and not playing very well, period. The ends, the pressure, in my mind, Ngakoue, Dante Fowler, Calais Campbell, those guys should have a big game, and this team needs them to have a big game. Because if you're talking about winning matchups, this is a matchup that you should win.
And it sounds like a defensive score would help matters for this football team this week, right?
That's unnecessary. But the left tackle, Cedric, how do we decide we say his name?
Obwehi.
Obwehi, because I knew it. I knew it 3 weeks ago when I had to call the Thursday night game, but I forgot immediately.
Yeah.
I just watched the game, and I've watched two games early. If I would bet a lot of money that Ngakoue is going to have at least one sack and multiple quarterback hits. They're going to have to help him.
Without question.
He cannot block Ngakoue. Can't. If it's the Ngakoue we saw in the first half of the season, he can't block him.
His feet, when you watch a boy he play as a left tackle, he sets, and then the defensive end is planting a foot and coming underneath, and oh boy, he's still kicking. And you go,
he's really athletic looking and looks like he has great feet, but then all of a sudden he from here, his brain.
It doesn't transfer from the head down.
From his brain, there's like some like block in the neuro system that goes down to hips and feet where they don't react very quickly.
So it's like it's delayed, It's like television sometimes. You watch television.
7 second delay.
You got a couple second delay and it's kind of off kilter a little bit, but. He has not played very well. Jake Fisher, the right tackle, probably a little better, but
he's better, but he's not very physical.
Yeah, but he's not exactly a great player either. They're like Tony was talking about Andre Smith taking reps. I mean, he's taking reps at right tackle and left tackle.
Yeah, he plays both
because these guys aren't playing well at the tackle spot.
And he's just a crafty veteran that mentally
he tries hard.
Mentally, he'll try to get fool you and do different things to his body position, but he has nothing left.
You got to win there. You got to win there.
So, but
Andy Dalton, by the way, did you see some of the decision making that he had? Did you go back and watch the Pittsburgh game?
I haven't watched Pittsburgh yet.
Okay, watched this past week's game against Andy. He had some decisions in that game that were not good. I mean, bad decisions. And one of the ones that was a bad decision, it worked out very well because it was a touchdown that he literally threw up for grabs. And thank goodness there was no safety anywhere within 20 yards because it would have been an easy interception.
It was a blitz.
I don't think so because you know what? I don't think so. I'd be shocked if he knew that.
Well, he'd tell you now he did.
I would own it. I would say, yeah, I knew it. Of course.
I would say
yeah, but there was a couple other.
We saw that on tape this week.
You know, 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, he's running out of bounds or he's scrambling out of the pocket on 4th-and-2 and he throws it out of bounds. And it's at the critical point in the game where you got to have points. You throw it up. Give your guy a chance. Again, last week against Indianapolis, he runs out of bounds, takes a sack when he could have just dumped it out of bounds and avoided the sack and the loss of 3 or 4 yards. I mean, those are things that, look, when you got a quarterback in his 7th year and he's supposed to be your franchise guy, I mean,
and he hasn't made those decisions in the past. He's been better in the past.
Yeah, he has been. And that's, you know, you got to keep him looking like that in this game.
And I think that what worries me, let me say this first. The Jaguars are a better team. They should win this game. So I'm not saying I disagree with that. I don't like the tenor of some of the – everyone's like, oh.
Let's roll through.
We're already counting – I love that guy. We're already counting wins.
Well, no, we did this on Monday night. You're counting wins on Monday night, and now you're backing off.
No, I'm not counting wins.
Now, the biggest thing is that there's been 1 week of a bye week of people and players listening about how good they are.
That's what I worry about. That's my whole point. I'm not worried about us saying it. I'm worried about like
them hearing it.
We've been players. I've been in locker rooms, and it's a dangerous thing if you start believing what everyone's saying about you. And because we still have not seen this team win a close game.
Because here's the reality, JP. Bye week rolls in, okay? Mm-hmm. First part of this week, NFL Network's here. Michael Silver's here.
No, then you have to trade the Marcel Darius, and all of a sudden now you're going to be the best defense ever. And,
yeah. Guys are going out on national media.
Is this the best
defensive line
in the league, you know, to add to what's the best secondary in the league? I mean, all that kind of talk, it can be a poison.
Rat poison is well,
Nick Saban would say. It can be a poison. And look, I mean, that's the reality. And hopefully this team recognizes that. You know, I'm sure the coaching staff recognizes that. And you got to make sure that it doesn't affect what you have been doing and what has gotten to where you are.
You want to go back through game by game the rest of the schedule like we did Monday night, Tony, since we're not picking wins all of a sudden?
It's not that we're not picking wins.
We did it Monday night. Now you're backing away.
I'm not backing away from anything. I think they win this week. I've said it all along. I'm telling you why I'm concerned and what concerns me about this matchup, because it's not just, oh, it's no problem. This team in the Jaguars, we have still not seen them win a close game.
That's right.
And there's down the stretch, there's going to be close games that they have to win in the fourth quarter. And this could be one because you have weapons. Our secondary is great. A.J. Green is a great – and so when you have great players playing against each other, sometimes the other great player – makes plays against the one great player. And so it's not he's a dangerous guy.
Speaking of tight games, when you're in a tight game, your quarterback might have to go win it for you. We'll come back and get into Blake's game last time out, and if he can carry it over this time, how Leonard Fournette is doing as well. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Coming up at Daly's Place, Saturday night, Colt Ford and the Roar of the Jaguars calendar unveiling. Right before the show, the Roar may or may not be performing with Colt Ford. Tickets available. Daly'sPlace.com.
Yeah, what does that mean?
They will be. That's what that means. I was trying to be a little sly there.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah,
633-2000.
You didn't make that work, JP.
For tickets. Either way. Jags-Bengals coming up, presented by Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. Blake Bortles, last time out against the Indianapolis Colts. Solid numbers in a 500-yard game for this offense. 330 yards through the air, a touchdown, 124 rating for Blake last time out. That's the thing with Blake, though. A lot of times he'll have an outing like this. And then follow it up with a subpar outing the next time around. Is this something, maybe not the numbers like that, but is he at a point now where he can sustain some type of success like that in a tight game that this could be?
I don't know.
You don't know yet.
I mean,
that's the question.
Well, that's my point. There's I'll go back to what I said a few weeks ago when I said, well, based on my gut, I think it's going to be a good day. No, I said, I think it's going to be a good day offensively today. This was against the Rams, passing-wise. And Jeff goes, well, why do you think that? And I said, oh, just my gut.
I don't know.
And my gut was dead wrong because it should have been a huge day passing based on the coverages in the fronts they got, and it wasn't. And so I'll say again, when you asked me that question about Blake Bortles, I'm not going to say my gut anymore because my gut was wrong last time. I just don't know. I hope so because that's what's best for everybody, including Blake. And this team's pretty good when Blake plays above average. It's a pretty good football team, especially with this defense. And I said this Monday night, JP, if this team has a two-possession lead, I don't see it losing a game where it has a two-possession lead. It's too good at rushing the passer and covering people. So if he can play above average football, then it's a really good football team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can do it week in and week out. I don't know if he can do it. I don't know if it's a once every four game deal, once a, you know what, because we just haven't seen it yet. There's nothing to tell us. I think a lot of it goes to – I think Nathaniel Hackett can help him. We've been saying for a while.
And I thought they did against
him. That's what I said. I think throwing early on early downs helps Blake Bortles. They need to do that, and they need to do it early. We've seen twice now against the Colts and against the Ravens where they came out early throwing it on first and second down. He gets in a rhythm. He feels better about himself. Whatever it is. I don't know. Maybe the stars are aligned. I mean, whatever makes it work, it works. Based on what we've seen. So I think Nathaniel Hackett can help him there, but it comes down to him performing.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see, first off, who's active on Sunday. You know, you're going to have your left tackle, or you're going to have Leonard Fournette. You know, Coach said that they're going to have Brandon Linder.
Mm-hmm.
He said it.
He said it.
That's good.
Marquise Lee did not practice yesterday, nor did he practice today. You know, will he be available?
Which he did that the week of the Colts game.
Yes, he did.
But that's after a bye now.
Yep.
So this is 2 weeks.
Yeah, so look, I'm hoping that you have all your pieces in place and all your pieces in place that are ready to go, not just available. Because if Cam Robinson is out there and he's not up to Cam Robinson standards, that's not great. You know, if Leonard Fournette is not Leonard Fournette, I mean, that's great that he's active, but it doesn't help this team unless he's Leonard Fournette. So, and I want to see them continue on with being aggressive on the early downs, and especially, you know, the one thing I think that was impressive, if you go back and you look at the Colts game where they had, you know, the first five possessions of the game, they scored on the first four. Every possession of those first five all had explosive plays, and the fact that they had explosive plays, some of it was in large part because the guys were winning one-on-one matchups at the receiver position. You know, Hearnsy had the 50-yarder. Mm-hmm. You know, Keelan Cole had the one for, what was it, 40-something yards, 52 yards, whatever, down the field. You know, that was just a little bit underthrown, but he had his guy beat. I mean, so if you can get one-on-one, and I don't know if you'll get a ton of one-on-one against the Bengals because they feel really good about playing their safeties back sometimes. But if you do, these guys have to win. And the safeties for the Bengals, Tony, I don't know what you – I mean, you've covered the Bengals before. I think they're average at best. You know, the corners, I think, they've got Pac-Man Jones, good football player.
And he competes his butt off.
And he's been around for a long time. Dre Kirkpatrick, you know, JP, I know you love me. He's an Alabama guy, yeah. Former first-round pick.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good player for them. Darquise Denard, another first-round pick that plays a little bit, nickel. Him and also William Jackson has been playing a little bit of nickel for him. So, you know, they've got some talent at that position, three first-round draft picks. So, wide receivers have to win. And it will be interesting to see if Keelan Cole can continue to take steps because, you know, we saw so much from him in the preseason, and we didn't really see anything out of him in the first, five games. In the last two games, we started to see him do some things, and he needs to continue to do that and continue to get better.
And there's going to be opportunities. On tape, Jeff's right, they play a lot of two-high safety look. You're not going to see any two-high safety look. They're not going to see it. They're going to be in the box. They're going to play single high safety. They're going to play man outside. They're going to stop the run. Mm-hmm. Until the Jaguars continually beat them in the past, they're not dropping into high safeties. Maybe on third and long, obviously that changes the game a little bit. But on down and distances where it's a neutral or Jaguar advantage, you're getting single high safety, eight in the box. If it's 11 personnel, meaning one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, you're getting seven in the box. It's going to be run-heavy defense. It's just what you're going to see.
Up to the Jaguars to either run or throw the tight end like they did a couple weeks ago that somebody said before the game would happen.
He caught one ball, JP.
Two. Could have been two.
He had two.
Could have been three.
I thought he had two catches in the
game. First one was overthrown. Should have been a touchdown. The second one was a touchdown.
He had two catches.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not get crazy that you were like this Swami predicting the future.
I was, because I picked Blake Bortles as my fantasy quarterback.
How many touchdowns did he throw?
One.
One, but he had about, almost
330 yards.
Yeah, 330 yards. I mean,
big day.
It'll be a big day.
No, he had a great
I was mocked. I just wanted to make
it'll
the,
be a
on
good fantasy. It won't be a bad. It'll be a good fantasy day.
Make a good day.
Be a good day.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
We'll see if the Jags can get another fantasy day going this week. Hey, we'll come back and we'll pick the games for this week. This is the normal segment coming up. We do that when Tony, you're on the road.
Yeah. What do you guys do this last segment? I've never been around.
We talk around the National Football League.
Okay,
and then get ready for the Jags game. Our final thoughts about Jags Bengals. So,
are you going to pick the Bengals since you like picking the opposing team?
I didn't say a thing yet. And we'll look at the standings too when we come back.
Oh, that means JP had a good.
I don't know. We'll look at him.
When he talks like that, it means
we'll
he had
look
a good
at
week.
Him and see what happens in the picks.
Such a clown
during the bye week. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli. Forever Teal Weekend coming up. Hashtag Forever Teal, and we're all wearing teal here on set today.
Yes.
And the Jags will be wearing teal on Sunday. Logs is not a big proponent of the jersey mattering much in the result. We talked about this
earlier. I just said, look jersey, JP was making a big deal out of it. This team is 8-4 in teal jerseys and black pants.
That's the dumbest
Did
thing.
Did you know that?
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, I'm just stating the facts.
I would like to.
That's what they are.
I would like them to go back to old school with the teal jerseys and the white pants.
White pants.
I thought that was good looking.
That's what I like.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Go
well,
all teal, so no black on the jersey at all, and then the white pants. Just old school.
Yeah, go old school.
Well, this is what's going to happen. They don't ask you.
They don't ask Jeff and I, trust me.
No, apparently not.
Just so you know, JP.
Yes.
As a player,
right.
It means nothing what jersey you put on.
I agree with that, yes. I'm just saying what they were.
For me and him, it didn't. But there were certain guys like Keenan McCardell. He liked to look certain ways.
Yeah, he looked like
yeah,
cool.
You know, certain guys like, you know.
I think Fred Taylor liked the full black on black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was his
thing. Some guys it makes a difference, but, I mean, for me and Tony, we're like.
It's whatever.
Just give me my
helmet.
Whatever it is, let's go.
Let's go.
As long as I got my cleats, okay, yeah, and everything fits, let's go.
Because, honestly, I was more worried about the right defensive end than anything else. I didn't right. care about what jersey I was wearing.
So
I'd be worried about Carlos Dunlap. That's what I'd be worried about.
That's right. It is homecoming weekend as well. So nearly 60 former Jaguars will be here this weekend for the game. The event's on Saturday night.
Me and Tony will be here.
Yeah, we'll be here.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be here.
I'm good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Finally.
I'm going to miss my first Saturday night, though.
Oh, yeah. You got parental duties.
Yeah, I'm going to see my son, Florida State. He plays. They have a game, obviously, and then they have a little thing.
Who are they playing? Florida State?
Syracuse.
Who? Syracuse?
Yeah, and they have some kind of
fraternity. Think they're going to win?
I don't know. They're 2-5, Jeff. Yeah. Not real confident right now. So, I'm going to try. Because the 12 o'clock game, I actually might get back to the second half of the festivities.
12 o'clock game?
Yeah. I mean, it's about a three-hour ride back. It's
I got to go. They have a thing at his fraternity for parent weekends. I'm going to stop by just to say hello and then get in the car and try to get back in time.
But everybody's back for the game. Always fun to see everybody. And it gets, as long as you said earlier, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
Seems to be. You know, and look, I give the organization a lot of credit, you know, because there's a lot of organizations that don't do that, you know. And then for them to host, you know, a cocktail hour and then a dinner, I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, and they do it upright, and that's what, you know.
It is done right. That is for sure. Very nice.
Give them a lot of credit.
Very nice.
You know, and to me, it's always fun to kind of reconnect with some of the guys. You know, I was hoping to get some other guys back into the mix this year, but some are going to make it. Some of them aren't. But, you know, every year it seems to be somebody different comes, you know, that you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I'm actually bummed I'm going to miss Saturday night. I enjoy Saturday night. I mean, that's because Jeff and I don't get to really do anything Sunday. When they're all on the field and up in the terrace suite.
Yeah, they have breakfast and, you know.
We're working.
Shake hands, kiss babies kind of thing, and, you know, we're working.
So I'm disappointed I'm missing Saturday night a little bit. So I'm going to try to – that's why I want to race back because it's fun just to see the guys.
You know? And sometimes, you know, when you get to the alumni things, you walk into the room and you go, and you're looking at a guy, and you go, I know that guy. And so then I'll go over and I'll go, Tony, what's that guy's name right there?
No, I'm not sure. I was hoping you did.
And then there's some guys, you look at him and you go, he played?
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden you hear the guy's name and you still go, what year did he play?
Right.
I mean, there's
guys come and go.
Because there's some guys that, you know, that come back, which is awesome. Some guys that may have played here for
a game,
a couple games, you know,
which is fine.
But it's cool. It's awesome. It's awesome.
So, you know what else is awesome? My record last week picking games. So let's take a look at the results from last week.
All right, let's see it.
I was 11-2 last week. Baselli and Lagerman both 9-4. So for the season, 78-41. You guys are 70-49. Logs, you're
11-2. Are you sure about that?
Here are the results. Go through here.
Right, yeah, let me see that. Let me see that.
Only lost two. Rolling.
First of all, you can't even read that.
This is great radio right now.
All right,
let's
go.
Just for the record, I want. So usually this is where the point in the show, Tony, where we go through the Thursday night matchup. You're at the game, JP. Usually doing the analyst work, right?
Yeah, so I did. I took the week off. I didn't look at it at all.
So we're not going to go there this
week. I'll
be
honest with you.
Bills-Jets tonight is the Thursday night game. Good
matchup. I'll say this about the Bills. Mm-hmm. You know, paying attention, you know, doing all the different games. Give Sean McDermott a lot of credit. He's building it his way. He brought his GM. They kind of are tied at the hip. And he has made it very clear that you're either in the boat or we're going to ask you to jump off the ship. You know, he got rid of Darby, the corner, to start. He got rid of they allowed Gilmore to leave to go to the Patriots. I mean, they got rid of Watkins, and now they traded Darius, one of their best defensive linemen. So, I mean, and whatever happened with Darius, I'm glad for us, so I don't really care. But my point of saying that is, they're doing this and they're winning. I mean, they let one of their best defensive players go and go out the next day and win the football game. And so give him credit. Whatever he's doing, I'm not following it close
enough.
Job. But they're doing a good job.
Well, the big reason why they're winning, they're leading the league in takeaways.
Yeah.
I mean, they got more takeaways than Jaguars. I think they have, 17, takeaways on the season.
I think they're one up on us. Yep.
You know, so, I mean, they're playing good football.
And give Todd Bowles a lot of credit, too.
He's doing a good job considering what many people viewed that team to be at the beginning of the year. So who are you taking?
It's in New York. It's in the Manhattan. I'm going to take
it's Manhattan. It's in the Meadowlands.
You know,
talking
trying,
about?
When
East
I said why,
New Jersey.
First I said it was
different
in New
state.
York. I know. Stop. First I said New York. Buffalo's in New York as well. So I was trying to clarify it was New York.
That's not in Manhattan either.
My point is saying they're the New York Jets, right? They're not the New Jersey Jets.
Yeah.
So I was trying to say what's the closest area to the Meadowlands that's in New York? That'd be Manhattan, right across the river.
Jersey
Staten
City
Island.
Is a little close.
But that's not in New York.
Staten
Jersey
Island's
City,
close.
City is
right.
Jersey. My point of saying.
We get your point. What's the name of that stadium again?
MetLife
Stadium.
Yeah. Anyways.
So who are you taking?
I'm taking the Bills.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll take the Bills on the road. Sure. No more suck for Sam for the Jets. They're 3-5. Sam might not come out.
Yeah,
I was
say,
how about that?
I need to get one.
Small hands, by the way. So. Sam Darnold.
That's not the one, Joe. I'll stick
Buffalo?
With the Bills.
Okay, yeah. Buffalo across the board.
I had to talk to my advisor there, and he said that that's not the one you want to get.
Okay, good to know. Falcons at the Panthers.
Can I make a rule real quick?
Yeah.
JP has to pick first of every game.
Okay.
First.
Yeah.
That way we can jump around if we want to go their way.
Falcons,
Panthers?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it at?
It's at the Panthers. That's always the second team is always the home team
in the
United States sports,
All right.
That's the way it's been for 70 years.
It's great.
This is not Europe.
Thank you, JP.
I'm taking Atlanta.
I'll take Carolina.
Carolina.
Of course you will. This is a start of a trend, I'm afraid. Buccaneers at the Saints. New Orleans.
Saints for me.
Okay, for everybody. Wow. Colts at the Texans. No quarterback for
this is much harder.
Texans. Wait a minute, I messed up. JP, who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going to go Indy. Why not?
Texans.
Golly.
It's tough, right? I mean, oof.
Where's the game at?
It's in Houston.
It was an easy game until...
They were going to bask in the glow of the World Series win, but the quarterback went down with an ACL
today. He missed the whole thing you just did, Jeff.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
He missed the fact that he asked where the game was
after
you got on me about it.
That was fair. No, it was a fair question by him.
I'll go Colts.
Okay, Indy for you.
Ooh.
Rams at the Giants. I'll go Los Angeles Rams. Somebody pick the Giants. Come on.
They stink.
The Rams are coming off a bye.
I'm taking the Rams.
I'm going Rams. Hurry up. Broncos at the Eagles. Good game. Eagles
got
for
a new quarterback for the Broncos.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, not for the Eagles though. I'm taking the Eagles.
Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
No Jason Peters at left tackle with that pass rush. They could get after Carson Wentz.
Go for it.
I'm gonna take the Eagles.
Okay. Yeah. Ravens at the Titans.
Stop, Jeff. Let him talk first.
No, Ray.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans coming off the bye at home.
Titans.
Ravens
are not very good. Plus, Flacco's off concussion.
Yeah, that's right. Redskins at the Seahawks in Seattle.
Good one.
I'll take the Seahawks.
Why? You should take the Redskins.
Oh, you shouldn't tell me who to pick if I'm going first there, smart aleck.
Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Redskins.
Of course you will. What a pick. Cardinals at the Niners. Cardinals.
Niners.
First win for them, you guys say, huh? Chiefs at the Cowboys. It sounds like without Ezekiel Elliott. Chiefs all day.
Cowboys.
Chiefs.
Sunday night, the Raiders at the Dolphins without Jay Ajayi.
Go ahead.
They traded him.
Well, we know that. Thank you, JP.
The Raiders normally play okay on the East Coast, except last week when they lost in Buffalo. They're going to rebound this week. Jack's going to get them going. Raiders are going to go to Miami and get it done.
I heard it's an axe game, chop and wood game.
Yeah, that's right.
Miami.
Tony?
Since it's an axe game, give me Miami.
Tony?
I'm going Miami, too.
Okay. Of course you are. We may or may not have any specialists for that game. Lions-Packers in Green Bay Monday night. I'm taking Green Bay.
Detroit in Green Bay?
Yes.
Detroit.
You forget that Brett Hundley's playing quarterback.
I don't care.
Heck of a
playing
job.
Quarterback. All right, there you have it. Oh, and the Jags and the Bengals.
Do you even have
Bengals,
to ask?
Bengals,
well, he might pick the Bengals.
I always pick first.
Jaguars. You take
Jaguars.
Whoever you want.
Jaguars, all the way across for the picks here in week 9.
How many can I get up on you?
Not many, because you're going
to
lose
get like
all
three
yours.
Or four.
I got an opportunity.
That.
You need more than that, big
I got
boy.
Got an opportunity.
It's a boat race. I'm way out in front. You ain't catching up.
Yeah, but you're rowing.
Hey, we'll come back and go around the National Football League and get our final thoughts on Jaguars-Bengals in week 9 on Homecoming Weekend, Forever Teal Weekend. Here in Jacksonville.
Which one is it? Is it Homecoming or Forever Teal?
Yes, it is.
It's both.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shatter, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Final thoughts ahead of this game in week 9. The Bengals and the Jaguars coming up Sunday at Irving Field. Before we get to those.
It's not really our final thoughts, though.
This show will be the final thoughts.
We're going to have more thoughts.
Clarify.
We're going to have more thoughts
on Sunday
the pregame show. Pregame show.
Starting at 10 o'clock on 1010XL.
Well, it really doesn't start till like 10:20 when we get on.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah. About 15-ish. 10:15, 20, something like that.
Before we get to our final thoughts
State
for
facts.
This show, mm-hmm. let's go around the National Football League and start off with one of the wildest trade deadlines really in league history. Capped off by a Bengals-Browns snafu trying to trade A.J. McCarron. They didn't get it in before the deadline.
It was a Browns-Bengals bungle.
Ah.
How about that?
I have a question, though. Jimmy Garoppolo goes to the 49ers for a two. So why is A.J. McCarron?
Because he has another year. He's not a restricted free agent at the end of the year. Because his rookie year, he was not active because of an injury from college.
So he's got a two-year contract, whereas Garoppolo's on a one-year deal.
That's right. They can.
But still, do you think that the difference of that is worth a two and add a three to that?
Well, I think what their reasoning – I don't. But what their reasoning would be is they would have him the rest of this year, plus next year they could tender him as a restricted free agent and – put a first-round tender on him and pay him $3 or $4 million, whatever that number is nowadays. Yeah. And so it's a low risk as far as seeing what they got. And I think they figured they got all those draft picks that they've accumulated. Listen.
You know what I think it is?
It's bad.
I think that the Browns were embarrassed that the 49ers worked the trade out for Garoppolo.
And purposely – some people think maybe they purposely did not send it the trade-in information on time.
I don't believe
because
that.
They realized – this isn't a good deal.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't either, but
I think that they reacted panicked. To the Garoppolo trade and went, "Oh my gosh, how come we didn't do that?" And then got the next best thing, which was A.J. McCarron.
5 minutes before the deadline.
And said, "Okay, let's force this in because you know what? Our owners aren't going to be happy that the 49ers were able to get Garoppolo and we weren't in the conversation."
Right.
So they go to get A.J. McCarron and then they screw that up. Because they were too busy, and this is what it was reported, they were too busy celebrating that the trade had happened, but they didn't send in the paperwork on their end, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals did send to the league office their end of the paperwork.
It was interesting to hear the back and forth right after it happened.
And it's just got
to
be an email.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is now the truth is starting to come out, and that all it takes is for a Bengals official and a Browns official to each send separate emails. Okay, we have agreed to a trade for so-and-so. And you don't even have to have the specifics from what I was reading, that the specifics don't have to be provided until a later date.
We just made this deal, make it happen.
We made this deal, you know, okay, we both send in separate emails. Okay, the league says, okay, deal is consummated. And you give them the particulars after the fact. And so for that to not happen on the Cleveland Browns end, you know, which is the money ball way of doing business, you know, with Sashi Brown and was it Paul DePodesta who did the whole Moneyball thing out there on the West Coast in baseball? It makes them look bad. And it makes them look bad in an organization that has passed up on two quarterbacks that both of them appear to be franchise guy in Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. So it makes them look even more foolish than they have already looked.
Wow, sweet.
Was it DePodesta for the Mets?
Mets, yeah.
The East Coast, not the West Coast.
Bean was the A's guy.
That's okay, though. I mean, same idea, though.
Yeah.
Don't let the facts get in the way.
No.
Way to research.
But it's crazy. Did you also read that the wife of Jimmy Haslam?
Mrs. Haslam?
Went crazy on him?
Really?
That she, like,
see that.
You know, ripped him. Which, you know what? She's an owner. She should go in there and fouls me out.
Ripped him in which way, Jeff?
As far as they're incompetent.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And she,
well, rightfully so.
And
I mean,
she should.
Somebody's getting whacked over this, right?
Oh,
not
gosh,
like
yeah.
They're going to blow it up.
They're going to blow the whole thing up.
They're going to blow the whole thing up.
Wow.
Sashi Brown will go back to being a legal counsel, which is where he should be. Mm-hmm. Not in a position of determining what a football roster is. In my opinion, yeah, he was here, and I like Sashi. Don't get me wrong. But when you hire what has been a legal counsel, okay, he was a team attorney, to run an organization and to make the call on who this team should be picking, how does that happen? I mean, shouldn't people that have experience with football?
Well, they brought a baseball guy, analytics guy, in to help them. I mean, come on, what can go wrong?
Shouldn't you have a football guy?
What can go wrong? I mean, you got the lawyer and the baseball analytics guy. What could go wrong?
Crazy.
I see. I got all your bases covered there.
We'll get to see it firsthand in 3 weeks.
I mean, that's why Carson.
All your bases covered. I like that. Yeah. That's good,
Tony.
That's good.
Tony, I see you working over there.
Thank you. That's, you know, that's why you don't pick Carson Wentz. He didn't measure up. He wasn't good enough. Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
November 19th, Jaguars at the Browns, by the way. 3 weeks away.
I will say this, though. I mean, look, their offense is a mess.
Defensively, they're pretty good.
They play good defense, and they play hard.
And Myles Garrett's a really good player.
He's a good football player.
When he's out there.
The good news is, you know what the good news is about Myles Garrett, playing against Myles Garrett?
What's up?
Is Cam Robinson kicked his rear end in college.
Yeah, that was a great matchup last year, in fact. One of the premier matchups.
It was a great matchup if you were Cam Robinson.
Sure. Yeah.
That was he's a good football player. We're only seeing kind of the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Myles Garrett. He's still really raw, but he is athletic. Mm-hmm. And Greg Williams has that defense playing extremely hard. And they're a little unconventional now. They do some things that are very wacky now from a schematic standpoint that it's not always fundamentally sound. But that team, that defense, I mean, well, you're talking about a winless team. And if you turned on the film and you watched Cleveland's defense, you would not know that they do not have a win.
It is a packed.
How about their offense?
Terrible.
Well, all right then.
Terrible. See, quarterback them. Plays terrible.
I've watched them, but I can tell that they don't win.
Terrible.
The training room in Houston is packed solid. Defensive guys went down early in the season. Today, Deshaun Watson is done for the year with an ACL tear.
Changes the division completely.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable news this afternoon out of
Houston. Non-contact.
Yep.
Listen, I know they're our division rival, but you'd never like to see anyone get hurt. He's had a – boy, what a tremendous young player. I mean, he's been dominant. Player of the month.
Well, we had a chance to go win Rookie of the Year, too. He kept playing like
absolutely.
That.
He was going to be Rookie of the Year.
What was it, Houston and Seattle?
Yeah, last weekend.
I was listening to that on the radio.
I watched it. It was unreal.
Wow. Just listening on the radio, it was like, oh, my God, what a game.
Right. And he was really good. And so you hate it for him. Now, if you look at the division, it changes it all because the Texans were going to be right there in it with the Jaguars and the Titans as this thing wore down through December. They're done.
He was
carrying them.
And here's the crazy thing. Think about all that the Texans have had to deal with this year from – hurricanes to injuries to change of the quarterback position to more injuries to a question about the owner using the term inmates running the prison to a player group that almost wanted to boycott a practice, a couple players that didn't show for practice, to the trade of a holdout of Dwayne Brown, to the trade of Dwayne Brown. I mean,
that's only the first half.
Bill O'Brien? I mean, if there was anybody that should be considered coach of the year just because of all the things that they have had to deal with, Bill O'Brien's got to be in the conversation.
Tough job right now.
Tough job. Tough job.
We'll see what they have down the stretch. Also on the same day, as we mentioned earlier, Logs, Andrew Luck officially on injured reserve. He's done for the year in Indy.
And you know what? The first thing that comes to my mind, you're dealing with his throwing shoulder, a labrum issue that he had taken care of in January, and still not throwing without pain. That's not just a concern for this year.
That's career.
That's a career concern. And I think they're putting him in IR. I think they're underplaying it, as they probably should. But we'll find out this offseason.
Who did a surgery, by the way?
No idea.
See if you can pull that up, JP. Who did Andrew Luck surgery? Yeah. Because if Andrew Luck was smart, he would have came here to Jacksonville and had Kevin Kaplan do a surgery. Yeah. Who is the Jaguars guy, does phenomenal shoulder work. But I'm curious because, I mean, you're talking to Andrew Luck.
Might be. I mean, let's hope it's not over for him. I hope it's not a career deal.
Hope
but
not.
It's.
But that's not
scary.
A very good that's no, not a not. Very good thing on the resume if you're that surgeon. But well, it's unfortunate for Andrew Luck because.
But Jeff, I mean, a labrum
this is a concern.
A labrum tear in any shoulder is tricky, but when you start talking about a guy's throwing shoulder, I mean, it's something to be concerned about. And Cam Newton had a rotator cuff issue this offseason. He came back and he's throwing it fine.
And he had his surgery late.
Later than Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck is still.
He had his, I think it was in January.
Well, I want to say Luck was beginning of January and Cam was the end of January. So it wasn't that far apart.
This was January 19th was when the story came out. He underwent surgery after all. So It must have been not long before that article came out.
But anyways, so, whenever it was.
I can't find what doctor did it. There's no reporting on
the, but that's scary if you're Andrew Luck and if you're the Colts organization. Bill Polian was on, I was reading on Pro Football Talk, was just ripping the Colts for how they built the organization, not the, and it's their fault.
Is he wrong?
No, it's hard to argue.
Well, I mean, Ryan Grigson.
They butchered it.
Ryan Grigson got the pick right for Andrew Luck, and then
Wait a second, Jeff. He did not get the pick right on Andrew Luck.
Yeah, but anybody could have.
That's my point. Yeah. That's not getting it right. That's getting lucky.
No question.
And then
because he got the job,
then he
and the
butchered.
Colts ended up having the first overall
pick. His name is now Ryan the Butcher Grigson because he butchered the rest of it.
We've been saying it for years. That
I don't know. I mean, maybe he's a nice guy. I shouldn't be mean, but it's not
his
good.
His draft picks weren't very good, you know. And he didn't draft. Who was the first offensive?
Well, he got Trent Richardson. Muhort. He got Trent Richardson for a first rounder.
Oh yeah, that's a great, great acquisition. And it was wasn't it Jack Muhort? It was like the first offensive lineman that he drafted in the top three or four rounds since in his tenure there, because he drafted Andrew Luck, and then he was drafting a bunch of skill players. Or trading away draft picks for skill players when you've got a young franchise quarterback to worry about protecting and he didn't do anything about it. You know, so Ryan Grigson, and he's working still. Somebody
where?
Hired him. Some team hired him. I can't remember which team it was, but he's working in the league now in a personnel
department. I wouldn't put him in charge of the draft. That's just my theory.
No.
We failed to mention when we were talking about the Browns that Josh Gordon is back in the NFL.
No, conditional.
Yeah, conditional. He can go to meetings.
Can't play.
Right, but he can go to meetings. Last time he played was 2014.
Who is Josh Gordon?
Right, how many guys on the team would know who he is?
Well, he was conditionally reinstated about a year ago, and he butchered.
He screwed that up.
He screwed it up, so let's not get too excited.
So there you have it.
I hope that
I hope he just his life's cleaned up. That's all.
Yeah, because he was the one that was him and Johnny Manziel.
They're hanging out together.
Were running mates.
Good combo.
Yeah. Well, they really helped each other out.
Worked
a lot.
Out well.
Yeah.
Final thought here around the league: Ezekiel Elliott, the back and forth legal ease is going on now, but at least last we've heard, he probably won't play this week for the first time. Suspension.
I think the next is they can go up to the, with the appellate. District Court 2 or whatever, and then after that, it's the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's never going to see this. I mean, they're not going to waste their time on this.
Nor should they.
No, they should. I mean, at some point, if you're Ezekiel Elliott, what you have to look at is Tom Brady couldn't win. He served his four games. And so
He didn't push it, though. I mean, Tom didn't really.
Yeah, no, he had a couple. That was the whole thing.
The whole year.
The whole year when they won the Super Bowl was a stay. No, they played in the championship game. The following year they won the Super Bowl when he was suspended four games, which was last year. But the year before he was supposed to be suspended, and he appealed it, and that's why it took all year. And it wasn't until the offseason that all the appeal process went through, and it went to the second court, district court, whatever that is. And they heard it. They sided for the league, and that was when his decision was to pursue it to the Supreme Court or let it go. And he finally said, "Enough's enough. I'll just do my four games."
Yeah.
Mm. So my point is, there's precedent. So if you're Ezekiel, take your five games, get on with your life.
Right. Jags Bengals this Sunday at Everbank Field, 1:00 homecoming weekend, forever teal weekend. All of the above. The Jags at 4-3, Bengals at 3-4 coming in. What's your gut say, Tony?
I'm not going with my gut. My gut says I'd like dinner right now is what my gut says. That's about it. I think the Jaguars are going to win.
Certainly not a lock, though. You don't lock
anymore. No, I think it's going to be – I actually think it's going to be a close game. I think it's a game that's going to go into the fourth quarter, and I think this is the game that the Jaguars make a couple plays, get a lead late, and then that defense just smothers the Bengals. Yeah. That's how I think the game goes.
And I'm hoping that they crush them.
Oh, I do too.
But here's the thing. If this team wins a close football game – I mean, that's a good sign. You know what I mean? So I would not be unhappy if this team wins a really close football game that comes down at the end, because winning games like that goes a long way towards building confidence in the future for games that you're in just like that.
All right, guys. Well done. We'll see you on Sunday here at Everbank Field. Tony Buscelli.
Can't wait, JP.
Jeff Lagerman. Max Hochman.
Good job, Hollywood.
Joe Fortunato.
Not so much you, Joe.
Thank you for listening and watching. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.